Thank you. The DOP policy was Maybe what we call it, this is the trap. It's a tactic, a it's very much anything will take them back. In future, can I suggest that before we undertake oversight, I think we need to have a discussion amongst ourselves to find each other about the approach of that particular oversight. Colleagues will remember an undesirable situation arose out of our previous oversight, where I refused to sit in some meeting after consultation with the party, several days. And I think that kind of terms could have been advertised had we not met before and find each other on the approach.
Now, okay, just only there, on the other hand, we are able to address the problem for the years. Rather than then adopted the notion of approach, I think you must start talking also in the FBT where we can find the oversight for the final year. Okay.
Thank you, Chair. On the whole question of the program, what's happened in the past is a draft program has been furnished to this committee. From time to time it's adopted, but most times amended. I'd like to propose that this year we do things differently. The program needs to be a function of all members and all parties on the committee. So what I would like to suggest in compiling the program to convene a meeting or a section of a meeting to discuss the program and to give members and parties an opportunity to suggest what it is they would like to see in the program. Then the draft program should be drawn up and then the committee should formulate a process. That is not the procedure for us. To change our procedure. Just look at that.
First of all, that will reduce our oversight role. Maybe we should just do that. That was to start and right. The first thing you are doing is the second page.
Critical matters pertaining to defense. Scopus reports that that they receive need to also be copied for us and for information, so we can decide on the urgency of the matter and how soon we should deal with it as a portfolio committee. Because they deal with the financial aspect and the performance aspect, we've got the direct oversight role that we have to go to these institutions.
Chair, to accommodate Mr. Majir's point, and I take Mr. Majir's point, I think that it would be advisable, given what we know and given what we've learned, that this committee schedules an urgent hearing on the whole question of the termination of the AMG contract and its consequences for the South African Air Force. So given the fact that the contract is limited time because the contract is likely to expire on the 31st of March, I think we should try to do it as soon as possible.
Honourable Member, if I wait on the problem, we must have an item of the intermediation with a hearing on the termination of the LNG contract.
Yes.
Honourable Member, that is the solution. I'm not sure one part is that I don't think that this committee wants to micromanage the department. But it is a department that knows and understands the requirements. And if it feels that this requirement is no longer necessary, we can come in and say it is still necessary. Because we are not managing. So my first point is that I wish that we do not interfere into the management of the department. However, if the department asks for our view in terms of their intention of terminating the contract, it is only then that we can make our input to get information from my management, and without that information being verified, for me it's dangerous. We need a meeting with the department to understand and to raise questions out of what we have captured from the paper guides. And taking from that, what then we can interfere, and we will interfere if it is necessary for us to interfere. But I want to repeat, it is not for this committee to micromanage.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I agree with my colleague, Honourable Mazia, that we cannot interfere. But there's a responsibility towards this committee, and that is responsibility of accountability. And if there is an urgent matter that can have a drastic effect, then I think it is appropriate that we are informed and then we can ask certain questions. We are not going to interfere with the management. No committee of parliament can interfere, but all committees can ask any department to account for it. And therefore, I would also suggest that I will propose that for the week, so the 6th of March, that we get the people and they will come and explain and give
the committee. Should the committee have a question in this matter, it could be into the notification as part of the meeting about regarding quarterly report. Will that answer? On the 5th of March, the committee is going to be the responsibility of this committee. Included in this, within that visit, it will be this, the matter of AMG. And then if they ask a question and this matter, and so on and so on, the committee is going to come again on the 5th of March to regarding the quarterly report.
I think there's a slight misunderstanding. The briefing on Wednesday the 6th says the briefing by the AG to the committee and speaks about consultants in government, which deals with about 5 different consultants. There were 12 of them scrutinized, 5 with uncontested bidding, and those are, that's about 3% of the value over 10 billion that was discussed shortly yesterday. So they get to speak in general about all those contracts, of all those contractors and consultants and service providers, and not speak about AMG specifically to deal with issues. I think that scope the issue of what now, because from our observations to the actual local spaces, all of these things, there will be a serious implication for our planes to be able to fly. And a number of them actually will be grounded because the technicians will not be available. So it's a very serious matter.
The meeting is going to the director is going to put the committee on the consultant, and that will include AMG.
Thank you.
operational capability of the South African Air Force and the safe operation of aircraft within the South African Air Force. That is the overriding concern. Why is it urgent? It's urgent because the contract will terminate on the 31st of March. And the question, the overriding and burning issue here is, what contingency plan has the Department of Defense put in place to mitigate the risk which will arise on the 1st of April? That's the question.
Well, you know what?
I think the Department probably will have a contingency plan.
We may not proceed with the micromanaging issue. We may not concentrate on the termination of the contract. The department terminates contracts for the day. That's part of the management activity.
Not much employment.
We want to know, we want to be clear about the agency in terms of this termination, on the legislation and any other matter, then we not there. I think we need to be clear about it.
In addition to what we have transferred, this is my view, that when the ANC was brought into the Air Force, there must have been some conditions, and those conditions include a period of the contract. I don't know whether the management was just appointed to come and subcontract the responsibility of the ANGF, or whether the ANG was appointed to come and depart with skills for the improvement in the SANGF defense air force. I don't know. Please forgive my ignorance. I also don't understand why do we think that the termination of the contract is going to have to the airport.
That's what we heard.
I'm glad
Catholic denomination. It's not true. Now I'm going to ask for the Catholic denomination and all the Catholic
information for other, even if any other issues that have been to other contractors.
So again, just confirmation on for this meeting. We know that the Minister of Defence made a pronouncement that this is actually her business because it is in what we call an evergreen contract. 18 years, the same companies were employed, and it was employed by NAL, and NAL falls under public enterprises. So that effectively, it's nothing to do with us. But the termination is important because it's a treasury directive that doesn't comply with PFMA regulations, and therefore they must terminate and reappoint. By the terms of reappointment, they are considering. Now, the scope committee gave a clear directive. Can you report back to us in work on the contingencies? There was an indication given by the General Galubi that 200 out of the 500, the only the safe and critical skills will be kept, and then they have to consider what they do with the other 338. So there are many considerations by the department. Now, in a week's time, it means General Galubi can brief us on their planning within the department and what steps they've taken to avoid this scenario where our plans will be grounded and our support that the process is challenged.
Thank you. studies are not amended, I don't think you want to go into that. But then are we saying that all the 28 will be held in home, the report of the oversight of the defense will be communicated with us?
I understand on that page, the page where the defense review is coming here, there is a change. Because when the defense review comes to the state, the leader, when the minister comes here, and the minister also wants to be here. So, what we can do, if you agree, is that we can look at the page to do that issue, and then we put the defense review data. But it's up to the computer. I understand the work computer is where I
particularly
particularly in respect of delay in appointing members. I think it would be very useful to get an update on the defence.
Thank you. Also with
interpretation of interpretation in the continuum.
It's only after
explain better to put it to you. But the question remains that we are in agreement that the honorable one, we need some time to have a report back on the, because the whole debate was started by the institution of the defense review against commission. Maybe we decide we can put them in another program where we can have a lot of time with them. That's the first question. So the second question is that we are doing that another whole year when we start meet.
To the speaker and the process that must go through the committee to that. the deployment of foreign soldiers to the African Republic. We see that continuing to make sure that the issue is addressed, and there's also an issue of the certification of the deployment of up to 4,000 Slavic troops to the DRC as part of the strategic defense force. And we continue that Africa will play a very important, if not leading role in this. And there's some questions that we inferred from that is, if we think about the situation in international peacekeeping missions, and especially the flag subjection to the Eastern DRC, the question is about how does it impact on the SPF's capability to perform other tasks that, as you all know, the SPF has been tasked with returning to the borders, ensuring border safe security. If we expand on international deployments, specifically in Africa, then how does this impact on the SMH's ability to perform its other functions? And also, the question that you asked is about the capability of these missions. We saw, for example, the deployment of foreign soldiers to the South African Republic, and possible deployment to the Congo, and my concern, for example, there is our strategic airlift capability. As far as we know, the deployment to the CAR was done by chartered planes. So, that's one of the big issues that we have to look at is the strategic airlift capabilities and how these missions will be sustained. Number 2.2, this is not directly in the statement, there is no direct reference to the Department of Defense, but the President did mention the role, or did mention the need to address increasing violent protests in South Africa. Now, I feel like a direct consent that the Department of Defense would be involved in this, but we've seen in the past year that there were 720 joint operations between the police and the defense force. Most of these were anti-crime roles, but there were instances, for example, in Rwanda, where the defense force was called in as a backup, so to speak. So the question that arises from this is, if there's going to be an increased focus on cracking down on violent protests, what role will the SAAF be required to play in this? And it would be a good thing to get clarity on the exact role that the SAAF will play. And also how it will be, the measures will be put in place to limit the deployment of the SAAF internally as required by the White Background Defense. The 2.3 is on page 3. On the top, the last aspect of the principles mentioned in the State of the Nation address was the issue of poaching, receiving a lot of media attention, with up to 660 rioters being killed in 2012. And the SAAF involved in this. Some forces have been deployed in the Kruger National Park, for example, and there's been a lot of success stories coming from that. And the increased focus on this, again, the role of the defense force in anti-poaching should be clarified, and also the cost and deployment levels that will be required for this. Also, this will impact on other areas such as borderline control. If we need to send troops for anti-poaching purposes, how will this impact on our ability to conduct borderline security? And there's two more aspects that Calvin will touch on. Thank you.
Thank you for the opportunity, Honorable Chair. I mainly dealt with the two last items on this brief, which is youth empowerment and skills development. We said, on the backdrop of the National Development Plan, which is the government vision for 2030, skills are needed as mentioned by the President. And this empowerment and skills development is one of the major focus. And the Department of Defense is assisting in that regard. The Department is following is focusing on two initiatives. The first one is the National Youth Service, whereby the Department trains youth from various departments in discipline, various skills, in order for them to develop before they are actually sent to various universities. And this initiative was launched as a pilot project where briefing. Fortunately, I was one of the members taking initiative. So, we are taking initiative. Now, we say these two persons may be raised and may be considered by the committee if they see them as being relevant. Therefore, we are thinking of rejuvenating SNDF as one of the MSDF goals. Because a lot of them were taken in order to rejuvenate the force, as some of the members were now owned to private sector. This is the exact role that the MSDF plays in addressing and the service of scout skills, particularly mathematics and science, and this has impacted heavily on the SNDF. I mean, some of the things were mentioned here, particularly pertaining to the contract which was discussed. That is a major thing. And I mean, if now some of these members are skilled, they will be able to take over some of those responsibilities. Thank you, Chair. Oh, sorry, Chair, one more. This is the last one. This was mainly what I expect to help our administration. From the state of creation as well, the president reiterated what he mentioned in his earlier addresses pertaining to corruption, fraud, and maladministration. For instance, we made it clear that the government will strive to eradicate corruption and fraud incidents in various spheres. And this president of nation address, he said that investigating on allegations of corruption, fraud, or maladministration in various government departments and state institutes have commenced. Within this background, the Auditor General has released a report, and I believe the committee will have a briefing on the 6th according to the program. Within that report, it was clear that the largest portion of the society expenditure on consultants between the financial year 2008, 2009, 2010, 2011 was from the DOD, which was about 10.4 billion. In this regard, the committee may consider giving the DOD a platform to clarify some of the issues contained in this Auditor General's report. That is pleased to hear that some of these issues we tackled here today, and the department will be given a platform to clarify some of those issues. And here, I also mean that the committee may consider inquiring on the key findings of the Auditor General's report, which includes, of course, the memorandum that was signed in 1986, including the AMG, etc., etc. And the contract regarding the death of an exploded ordnance entered in June 2009, the contract with regard to the digitalization of redundant ammunition entered into in 2006, and the contract regarding the maintenance of the Lipopo foreign affairs, and the contract regarding the maintenance of three administrative hospitals, as well as the services on one knee. Okay. And of course, everything on this will still be handed into the committee. So, most of these issues will be addressed in that brief. Here, I just take the highlights.
Thank you very much. Are you done?
Yes, yes, sir.
Any other members? I think we have much we have a lot of proof on this one. Never
challenges that were raised, and what are we doing? And those things are clearly highlighted. the contribution defense makes. Of course, the issue of creating decent work, the work agreement and work capability issue is one of those avenues that's also been reflected in the defense, that they also do maintenance and they also create jobs and also have skills development within the defense. If that can also be added as part of the defense contribution to those challenges as well. The other one was the conscription issue, which is still under debate, but that was another issue of getting through and also the South African National Defense to train young people before they are placed or recruited into jobs and given a start in life to at least get some life skills and basic training. So I think those are discussions and also proposals that are have been considered and accepted, especially the work management.
Very strong on it. So we need to also
question to you, Chair. You will know that recently the Defence Force deployed in the CAR, and that deployment was based on a memorandum of understanding between, I believe, the CAR in South Africa and between, or possibly, the Department of Defence in the CAR and the Department of Defence in South Africa. My question to you, Chair, is I wonder whether the researchers could look into a question, and they may need to take legal opinion, and that is whether the minister is entitled in terms of section 2312, 2313 of the Constitution to table that memorandum of understanding in Parliament.
This is the problem that I don't announce the issue of this country. That's why I don't understand what you are saying. I wasn't announcing.
Well, I'm announcing that I've made a question.
Very good. Very good.